Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, QT and Sangai with you here on another Friday afternoon. Real quickly, some show notes. Tonight, if you're looking for wrestling, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual. Rockstar Pro in Dayton, Ohio. APEW in Daly City, California. Hood Slam in Oakland, California. SCW in St. Paul, Minnesota. Prestige Wrestling in Hermiston, Oregon, and 3-2-1 Battle right here in Seattle, Washington. Tomorrow night, Woo America, where you can find myself in Bremerton, Washington. HPW in Columbus, Indiana, like usual on the first Saturday of the month. LLLV in Las Vegas, Nevada has two shows tomorrow. NWP in Greencastle, Indiana. DCW in Salt Lake City, Utah. Mayhem Wrestling in Columbia, Tennessee. TAPW in McMinnville, Tennessee. MWA in Omaha, Nebraska. LLV in Phoenix, Arizona. NSW in Orlando, Florida. And Pride and Glory Wrestling happening in Denton, Texas. And without further ado, I believe our guest has joined us. And speaking of APW and Hood Slam, he will be there later tonight. Funny Bone, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, Funny Bone, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I know you are a very, very busy man this week. Now, first question we have for you, it's our normal first-timers question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Honestly, I've answered this question probably the most out of everything. I've never wanted to do anything else but wrestle. Since I was a kid, since I can remember, it's the only thing that's ever been on my mind.
Now, for the fans that may not realize this, and I didn't realize it until fairly recently myself, one of the people that had a hand in training you and getting you into the wrestling business is Nick Bockwinkel. You wrestle a very different style than he ever did. What was it about getting in there with Nick Bockwinkel, do you think, prepared you for what it is that you do in wrestling now?
Well, my trainers were actually Nick Bockwinkel and a gentleman by the name of Scott Casey. Both absolutely amazing wrestlers and amazing talents. And, you know, you say I wrestle a different style than Nick Bockwinkel, and honestly, I actually have to disagree. Moves, yes. Why we do what we do and how we do it, no. Myself and Nick both had a general idea of how wrestling happens, how characters develop, and points and purposes of things. Nick was probably the greatest wrestler that I've experienced, like watching tape on and everything like that. He had just a way about him. He would do the exact same moves that everybody else did on the show, but when he did it, it was his move and not yours. Nick was one of the greatest trainers I've ever met in my life. I've done seminars with Tom Pritchard. I've done seminars with Les Thatcher. I've done seminars with the who's who of professional wrestling trainers. And Nick already told me all of that. You know what I mean?
I mentioned Nick Bockwinkel and Cowboy Scott Casey. They definitely have very, very solid reputations in the business. You yourself, like you mentioned, have done a lot of seminars and have worked with a lot of younger talent. Is getting into the training aspect and bringing the next generation of wrestlers along something that is your mind now as a supplement to the actual in-ring, or is training wrestlers something you're not really interested in at this point?
No, I mean, going from my experience with Scott Casey and Nick Bockwinkel, it's the way they always told me and the way that I personally look at it now is that if I don't pass it along, if I don't pass my knowledge along, I'm doing wrestling an injustice, I'm doing myself an injustice, and I'm basically smack in the face of Scott Casey and Nick Bockwinkel. It is my duty to help leave wrestling better than when I got there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Now, one of the things about professional wrestling that's become increasingly popular in the last few years is the Lucha Libre style of wrestling. We're seeing a lot more Lucha-based promotions pop up here in the United States. It seems like the fans are more well-versed as to what Lucha Libre is and have an appreciation. Is the Lucha Libre style of wrestling something that you enjoy experiencing, or is Lucha something a little bit foreign to what you normally do?
Now, I mean, nowadays, I think the difference between now and, you know, 10 years ago is the ability to watch other styles from other countries and other places and be able to bring some of that into your own style. Wrestling 10 years ago, you couldn't access as much as you could now. It's not as much more Lucha exposure. It's just more exposure to wrestling in general. I think more talents are being able to see different wrestling styles and different wrestling moves and different wrestling patterns and be able to grab that and hold it and bring it and make it something of their own. As far as me, I try to blend whatever I can blend into me and what fits me perfectly. If it happens to be some kind of flip dive bullshit, I'll fucking do it. As long as it fits me, it fits me.
One of the more underrated aspects in professional wrestling is the role of the referee. A bad referee can really sink a good match. A good referee can build up a bad match to a certain point. A lot of people in the industry as well as outside of it don't really appreciate having good, solid referees on a show. Since you travel quite a bit and see a lot of different referees, who would you say are some of the better ones out there right now that promoters should consider using?
Hands down, the best referee on the West Coast is Rick Knox. He goes above and beyond anything that you can do as a referee. Sparky Ballard's another really good one. Justin Borden's another good one. Austin Grimes from my city of Las Vegas is a very good one. Nuck Nuck Johnson is an amazing referee. There's a few others out here that I actually like-ish. My favorite thing to do to referees, honestly, is drop them on their heads. But as far as actual talented wrestlers and referees go, you're right as far as referees can make a match. Nick Bockwinkel used to tell me that referees paint a painting and wrestlers paint a painting and the referees are the frame. Mona Lisa would look like crap with no frame around it.
Agreed. Now, there was an incident in Marysville, Washington, several weeks ago where you kicked the official very hard in a corner. It knocked him out of the ring. He had to flee the ringside area to get assistance from the combat pro wrestling trainers. The official, of course, me. You kicked me very hard. Do you have a lot of experience with kicking referees very hard during the course of your matches?
Listen, I'm a big fan of the phrase, everybody dies. referees, to me, as far as a match goes, is there to count three. If they get in my way, they get kicked. If they piss me off, they get dropped on their head. If I don't like them, I stomp on their chest. If you're a referee in my match, your best bet is to be on your best behavior, in my opinion. You're still probably going to get hit, just not hit as hard. The difference between you and a lot of other referees is I was trying to kick somebody else. If I was trying to kick you, you wouldn't be talking to me on the phone right now.
Noted. Now, you say you're a big fan of the phrase, everybody dies. Have you come across Tracy Smothers very often in your career? Because he often says that very phrase as well.
No, I have never came across Tracy Smothers. The only situation I've had with Tracy Smothers is I filled his spot one time on a show because he got arrested.
It happens. You can't make your bookings if you're in jail. Now, in modern independent wrestling right now, streaming live shows has become very popular for promotions. We have the technology now where people can access live wrestling through a variety of different means, through a variety of different networks. More people than ever are able to see independent wrestling shows without having to go to the VFW halls or the Eagles clubs or anything like that. Do you think that these streaming services, as a general rule, are helpful or more harmful to live independent wrestling?
I think they're helpful. And here's why. Because you can watch TV, and you can watch wrestling, and you can watch it on your computer and everything like that, but there will be nothing that ever is the same or close to a live show. Generally speaking, it's good, but not as good. I wrestle for Hood Slam like I will be later on tonight. It is very popular on Twitch. People still come from all over the planet to watch it live.
Now, another thing about professional wrestling is we just come off of the annual Cauliflower Alley Club convention where people gather in Las Vegas and celebrate the history and the traditions of professional wrestling. People within the business and even people outside of the business in recent times gather there to meet and to relive old times, take part in some shows, some seminars, a cribbage tournament or two. What do you think about the CAC's place in professional wrestling these days?
CAC is one of my favorite events of the year. As you may know, Nick Bockwinkel actually used to be the president of CAC, so something that I actually value a lot. It reminds me of Nick. Last year, I actually got to see Scott Casey, which was probably the first time in about 10 years. He was there to give Booker T an award. CAC is one of my favorite things to do, one of my favorite times of the year. I get to see a lot of people only once a year, and it happens to be during CAC. Used to be more seminars as far as just the wrestling aspect of it, like the physicalness. Now it's more of everything else but the physicalness of it, which I actually appreciate because a lot of the seminars I do have to do with that kind of stuff. CAC is good for wrestlers as far as networking, as far as relationships, as far as friends and people they consider family. A lot of the guys that go down there, I consider family myself. For fans, it's good as far as getting to see a side of the business they don't normally get to see. They get to hear stories from guys of yesteryear. They get to see pictures and be involved with guys of yesteryear. One of my favorites, unfortunately, passed away recently, but the Destroyer was always one of my favorite parts of CAC, is getting to talk to him and hear crazy stories that he's told me 18 times beforehand. But I just love hearing him talk.
In the last 5 years or so, Brian Blair has taken the role of president of the CAC, and he's done a lot of work to make CAC better. He has people on both sides of the equation, if he's done a good job or not, but he's out there trying. What do you think of the job that Brian Blair has done so far as president of the CAC?
Realistically speaking, as far as what I do there and as far as my input and expert as far as CAC goes, it's the same to me. I know he's trying to do more as far as outreach and bringing more things in and getting its face out there more. Personally speaking, I'm concerned when they come to Vegas and they have a lot of fun.
All right, understood. Now, another thing about professional wrestling that I'm sure you're very well aware is we can have shows basically anywhere there's enough space to set up a ring. The venues where wrestling shows are held vary quite a bit, as most things do in wrestling. There's really great venues for wrestling. There's ones that are not very good for anyone involved. I'm sure you've seen some very strange and interesting venues in your day. What would you say has been the strangest venue where you've performed?
I mean, I've wrestled in restaurants. I've wrestled in parking lots. I've wrestled outside of haunted houses. Let's see, where else? Gyms, of course. I've wrestled at county fairs. I've wrestled at taco festivals. I mean, it's all the same to me. I'm concerned about the ring, not where the ring is.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to QT.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Mr. Funny Bones.
Hi. Funny Bone, it's not plural.
Oh, okay. Mr. Funny Bone, you just mentioned to Sign Guy that you wrestled at some restaurants. Can you tell us what restaurants that you wrestled at, and did you hit the any of the servers with leftovers?
Couldn't tell you the name of the restaurant because I can't tell you where I'm at most of the time. And no, I don't think I hit any of the servers. I don't really pay attention. If they're in my way, that's their fault.
Kind of like if a referee is in your way, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Now, you also told Sign Guy that you wrestled at haunted houses. Can you tell us where any of these haunted houses were?
Yeah, that's actually, that was some of my favorite times. It was for Freakling Brothers in Las Vegas. If you ever want a good haunted house, like an actual one, not some bullshit fucking assholes with clown masks on just trying to scare you, but a really good haunted house that really puts effort into it, go to Las Vegas. In October, look up Freakling Brothers, sign the fucking release, and go inside.
Whoa, haunted. Okay, very good. Have you ever wrestled in a corn maze? Corn maze that are popular in October.
No. Oddly enough, corn mazes don't exist in Las Vegas.
Wow, all right. Probably because you can't grow much corn there. All right. Well, Mr. Funny Bone, would you consider, if given the opportunity, to travel over in Germany and wrestle within 20 miles of the former prison camps Auschwitz, Dachau, or Buchenwald, 20 miles from there?
I'll wrestle in those places. I don't give a fuck.
Well, I'm sure that they don't really will hold any wrestling events there. May I remind you that it seems that there's never any birds chirping at these places. They're very haunted. No birds are chirping.
I mean, I'll wrestle anywhere if you pay me. I don't care.
Now,
I'm not worried about haunted.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, now granted, the thing with Auschwitz, Dachau, and Buchenwald is they have a natural hazmat setting, so they've already got the barbed wire set up. So that would be a plus. Yes.
Okay. That'd be helpful. Have to look.
Yes. Okay. Now, Mr. Funnybone, a sign guy earlier talked about and covered the subject of interesting places, and of course I just mentioned some. Do you recall your match with Coach Mike Jones and Henry Miller at La Problemita's, the restaurant with the gold-covered walls? La Problemita's.
Yeah, I've wrestled there a few times.
Oh, okay. What do you think about the walls being so close to the ring?
I think it's a good advantage of me grabbing somebody and throwing them into a wall.
Throwing them into the wall? Okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Funnybone, time travel is often the study of field among famous physicists such as Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein. It's also been seen in cartoons. My question is, if you were given a chance to time travel, which of these three wrestlers would you pick to wrestle if they were the only option? George the Animal Steele, the Boogeyman, or Adrian Adonis?
Wait, the Boogeyman or like Jimmy Valiant?
No, if your three choices were the Boogeyman, George the Animal Steele, or Adrian Adonis.
Yeah, my question was, is the Boogeyman Jimmy Valiant or the Boogeyman as in WWE a couple years ago?
WWE a couple years ago.
I've wrestled with him, so he wouldn't be there. George the Animal Steele.
Wow. All right. Okay, very good. Okay. Now, what if you were given the choice to choose three wrestlers and they were none of the above that were just mentioned? Who would you choose to face in order?
Nick Bockwinkle, Scott Casey, Bobby Heenan.
Wow, Bobby Heenan. Very nice. Holy smokes. Okay, very solid three choices. Okay, very good. Well, Funnybone, I saw your YouTube video entitled BCW Funnybone versus Tommy Celsius, February 3rd, 2019, and it was a steel cage match. Prior to the match, did you know Sign Guy would be the referee, and did you hear about him out in Nevada where you're from prior to the match? Sign Guy.
I had no clue who the referee was. I was there to do my best to murder Tommy Celsius. As I recall, double thumping him through a table and then winning that match.
Well, prior to this match with Tommy Celsius, did you have any steel cage match experience in Nevada?
Yeah. I have what many consider the best match in FSW history. It was a steel cage match with weapons versus Mr. Cutthroat Cody, one of my favorite guys to beat the fuck out of.
Whoa, Cutthroat Cody. Wow. Can you tell us some of the weapons that were involved with Cutthroat Cody?
4,000 thumbtacks, a barbed wire bat, a table, and a bunch of other crap.
How many thumbtacks ended up in Cutthroat Cody?
As many as I can get in them.
Oh, okay. All right. Was this your first cage match in the state of Washington with Tommy Celsius?
Yeah.
First cage match. Okay. How many total states have you had cage matches in? Obviously, Nevada and Washington now. Any other states?
California, I've had a couple.
All right. Are there any truths to the rumors that you have Idaho on your steel cage match map? Maybe Wrestle Club in Idaho? Is that one of your goals?
No, I don't have goals as far as where I wrestle steel cage matches. I don't have goals as far as where I wrestle as far as state-wise. I go places that give me money, and then I do an amazing job of beating the fuck out of somebody.
Okay. All right. Well, now, with your match with Tommy Celsius, I was very intrigued with your entrance music. It was rather haunting. Was this music by Depeche Mode or maybe a Trent Reznor?
No.
Oh. Okay. Can you give us your the entrance music? As far as I'm concerned, and I'm a bit of a rock historian, I couldn't figure it out.
The song is House of a Thousand Corpses by Rob Zombie.
Oh, Rob Zombie. Oh, okay. Wow, very good. House of a Thousand Corpses. Well, now I have a homework assignment to listen to the song. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Funnybone, at the 1 minute and 39-second mark, Tommy kicked the door of the steel cage and hopped outside to attack you. At the time, were you surprised that Tommy decided to go outside attack mode rather than inside attack mode?
Well, I don't know what his plan was, and I don't know when he went outside. I don't care. All I know is I whooped his ass.
Okay. Well, at the 3 minute mark, Tommy stopped wrestling with you and was fixated on putting a table in the ring. I'm not sure if he thought you were Mae Young and you wanted to conjure up Bubba Ray Dudley, but in focusing on the table in the ring, he did not secure the door. And at the 3 minute and 30 second mark, you went through the middle rope on a suicide dive. This was the first time, at least on the West Coast, that I have seen a dive through the ropes to the outside from a steel cage. My question is, prior to your successful launch on Tommy, had you ever seen this done before?
Done it before.
And I may add that it was over the top rope, so you really went high aerial attack mode. Yes.
If you give me an opportunity, I take advantage of it. That's just it.
Oh, okay. And boy, was that an advantage because Tommy did not secure the door. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Funnybone, the BCW ring bell finally rang at the 3 minute and 59 second mark. Now, 3 minutes and 59 seconds is a significant time in sports history. The mile run is a holdout to the old English system in track and field. Everything nowadays is run in meters. The metric equivalent to the mile is 1,600 meters, which is run for all high schoolers in the United States. Internationally and in college, we run 1,500 meters. Way back, 4 decades ago, and even further, the four-minute mile was thought to be unattainable until Roger Bannister from England broke this in 1954. In the 1960s, Jim Ryan was the first high school boy to break the 4 minutes with a 3:59 mile. Bannister also did a 3:59 mile. My question is, should we award the BCW bell ringer for breaking the four-minute barrier?
No.
Oh, okay. Just no. Well, okay. That's something. My next question is, did you yourself ever run the mile in high school?
Most likely, yeah.
Oh, you did? Well, was this on a track or outrunning the police or your principal?
I've never outran the police or ran from the police.
Oh, okay. Stood and fought very well. Okay. Okay. Now, Mr. Funnybone, did you hear that sign guy himself and the bell ringer had bad blood between them and had a match? And I'm not speaking about Bad Blood the wrestler. They actually had a match.
No.
Would you like for Sangai to send you footage of his match with the BCW bell ringer? Would you like this?
Yeah, I might need a nap later, so yeah.
What? Oh, come on. You wouldn't be taking a nap by watching this action, you know. You go, okay. All right. Funny Bone, in your opinion, is the bell ringer and the ring announcer of equal importance?
Yes.
Equal importance. Okay, I'm going to write that down in our logbook. Okay. Mr. Bone, you told Sign Guy that ever since you were a boy that the only thing you wanted to do was wrestle. What was the reaction of your junior high or high school counselor?
I don't know, nor do I care.
Did you ever get your junior high or high school counselor in a tombstone pile driver? Did you ever drop them on their neck?
No, I don't remember ever speaking to them.
Never spoke to them. Okay, very good. Mr. Bone, you told Sign Guy you attended a seminar with Tom Pritchard. Can you recall how many you attended with him and where? Tom Pritchard.
I was in L.A. somewhere. I don't know how many people were there, but I challenged him to a match later.
Whoa, did he accept?
He did, but it got interrupted.
Oh, interrupted. Can you tell us the nature of the interruption?
Some assholes that got beat up by me and Tom Pritchard.
Wow. Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Now, Mr. Funny Bone, here is a standard question we ask on Turnbuckle Turmoil. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you've ever received from a lady wrestler?
Never received one.
Have you ever tagged with a lady wrestler?
Yes, and for the record, I don't like you calling them lady wrestlers. If you step foot in the ropes and you're there to wrestle, you're a wrestler.
Oh, okay. And I from now on this show, I take the solemn vow of never using the term lady wrestler again. I shall never do that. Yes. Ever. Okay. Well, Mr. Funny Bone, do you have any plans in the year 2020 to wrestle in either Japan or Puerto Rico?
I don't plan as much as I just do.
You just do off the wing, off the cuff. Okay. It sounds like your plans and the plans for your wrestling future are best described as improvisational. Would you agree with this? Improvisational.
Yes.
Many of your best musicians are improvisational. Would you agree with that statement?
Musicians?
Yes, musicians.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care.
Mr. Funny Bone, do you yourself play an instrument? Maybe like an accordion?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, Mr. Funny Bone, in your travels among the Northwest, you may have come across or seen a wrestling manager known as Pa Moonshine. He's from the hills of Appalachia, and he's been known to bring a moonshine jug to the ring. What are your thoughts about seeing Pa Moonshine from afar? And have you had any contact with him backstage?
Paul Moonshine, I think I've seen some guy with some crap in his hand. This is how I look at every wrestler that's not me. There's somebody I will kick in the fucking face if they're in my way.
I see. Now, we covered the subject of time travel a couple minutes back. Would you also approach Andre the Giant with this tactic? Andre the Giant, if you ever face him in the ring.
Yeah, I'd kick him in the face.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're consistent. Okay, very good. All right. Now, also in the Northwest, along with Pa Moonshine, although he does not carry a walking stick, is that we have a wrestler that you may have come across, Randy Zellers. Can you tell us your opinion of Randy Zellers?
No clue who that is.
How about the Lumberjack or Aiden Reyes?
Say that again.
How about the Lumberjack, Jack, or Aiden Reyes? Have you come across these wrestlers? Or the Phoenix Kid?
I know Aiden Reyes, and I beat the fuck out of him in SoCal. Phoenix Kid, I haven't had a chance to beat the fuck out of, but I guarantee I will if I ever wrestle him.
Well, now, recently, for Northwest Pro, he was crowned in a coronation ceremony in the middle of the ring. He received, how would you say, like an Amy Farrah Fowler tiara. And his coronation ceremony was interrupted by another Northwest wrestler. Did you hear about this famous coronation ceremony that Aiden Reyes underwent at Northwest Pro?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, again, I ask you the question, would you like some footage of this coronation ceremony sent to you free of charge?
If it has something to do with Aiden Reyes, no.
Wow, okay, that's pretty adamant. Okay, very good. All right, well, now, Funny Bone, life is sometimes hard, especially if you're out on the streets, and if your occupation is, how would you say, a pimp. Have you come across famous Northwest manager who's originally from Alaska and pimping ain't easy, Y period T period Jones? Have you come across him?
I think I've seen him at my merch table buying a shirt.
Whoa, a merch table buying a shirt. Okay, very good. Wow, all right. Well, Mr. Funny Bone, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil go through a lot of process, a lot of thought in establishing our Northwest weekly rankings, Turnbuckle rankings, and YT Jones about a month ago was ranked number one in our rankings, and thus he received the coveted fruit pie. How much would it mean to you, Mr. Funny Bone, if you yourself were ranked number one in our weekly polls, which sometimes come out late and sometimes on time?
Does it mean I get more money?
I think we could write you a check, yes.
Then yes.
Oh, okay. Well, now Tommy Celsius was also ranked number one about a year ago, I think a year ago. What do you think about Tommy Celsius' number one ranking that you yourself faced in that steel cage?
I think the only thing I think about Tommy Celsius is he's fun to beat up.
Well, you may have beat up a lot of our number one ranked wrestlers throughout the years. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Funny Bone, do you belong to a fantasy baseball club? Because I'm going to tell you. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. And Mr. Funny Bone, be aware or be notified that you yourself in the upcoming weeks might achieve that number one Turnbuckle Turmoil ranking. Pay close attention. Yes.
I'll be waiting for my check in the mail.
Boy, checks to you mean more than rankings. That's very good. Okay, back to you.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Bone, you make your return to Blue Collar Wrestling on Sunday. You're in a whole lot of shows over the next 3 days, but you're wrapping up at Blue Collar Wrestling in a title match against Just Exciting. Have you scouted Just Exciting at all and figured out how exactly you want to beat him up, or are you just going to figure it out once the bell rings?
Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's what Mike Tyson said.
Mike Tyson's smart.
Now, blue collar wrestling is a place you've been several times now, and they're on a few different streaming services. We talked about a little bit of that a little bit ago, but Just Exciting now has the BCW Heavyweight Championship. He's recognized as the top champion at Blue Collar Wrestling. You've mowed through a lot of people there, Petrov, Tommy Celsius, a few others. When you get to the BCW title match, is the championship something that you've actually coveted, or is it just a means to an end to beat someone up and get paid for it?
I prefer to beat up the best people there so I can prove that I'm the best person there. According to him having the championship, he's the quote-unquote best person there, and we will find out Sunday how true that is.
Now, prior to that match on Sunday, you will make your return to DOA Pro Wrestling. Portland has several promotions within it. It's starting to really see a lot more interest in independent wrestling as a city. Probably not since the Don Owens days have we seen this many fans attending wrestling matches in Portland on a monthly basis. What do you think of Portland as a wrestling town right now?
I mean, I like it. I get to do two shows in one day, so I'm a fan.
One other person I know of is working both DOA and Blue Collar Wrestling. That is Kevin Brandt. He has the Brandt Dynasty at Blue Collar Wrestling, and he's always on the lookout for new members of the Brandt Dynasty that he can manage and lead to championships. Can you confirm or deny that there have been talks between yourself and Kevin Brandt for when you arrive in Portland?
Listen, with most situations like this, as far as having a manager or someone else in charge of any way, shape, or form, I will remind you and everybody else that I am a demigod of death. I'm in charge of me and everything that I do. I will never be led by someone else to do anything in this world.
All right. Now, we mentioned the Portland shows. You also have two shows tomorrow in Las Vegas. And Las Vegas is also another town that is red hot for professional wrestling right now. Several good promotions down there. You wrestle on the regular in Las Vegas, of course. What do you think of Las Vegas, Nevada now becoming sort of a hotbed of wrestling when it didn't really have a traditional wrestling territory attached to it at any point?
Honestly, I actually had to beg to differ a little bit there. Nick Bockwinkel used to run Las Vegas when he used to work the Showboat. He had classic matches against Kurt Hennig going over an hour long. Wrestling has always been a part of Las Vegas. Early 2000s, not so much. 2005, 2010, not so much. But for the last 10 years, FSW's been there. Since 2011, Freak Show Wrestling's been there. Wrestling has been in Las Vegas. And I've been wrestling out of Las Vegas for the last 18 years. So it's not a bad deal there. As far as how many companies are there or anything like that, I actually very rarely wrestle in Las Vegas. When I do, I get to remind them why that is my city and no one else's.
One of the other notable wrestling talents out of Nevada is Reno Scum from, of course, Reno, Nevada. They've been making big waves for the last several years and have gotten some national TV attention from Impact Wrestling over the last couple of years. Do you cross paths with Reno Scum very often?
I'll be seeing them later on tonight.
Ah, very nice.
They're the All Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions. That's the first show I'm on tonight.
Like I mentioned, you're wrestling twice today, tomorrow, and Sunday. That's a lot of matches in a three-day span. Do you have any set regimen as far as working out and training that you do in order to get you through so many matches in such a short time span like that? Not to mention the traveling to towns.
Traveling's the hard part. Wrestling's the easy part.
Yeah, I completely understand that. Now, like we were discussing, you traveled quite a bit in your career. What would you say has been the longest trip that you've taken so far to wrestle?
Probably the longest would be going from Washington all the way back to Vegas.
Now, here in the state of Washington, we have an athletic commission that still oversees wrestling. Several other states also have commissions. The commissions vary state from state as far as what the credentials you need to have a wrestling license would be. They vary how strictly things are enforced. Some commissions are extremely strict. Some of them are fairly lax and easy to work around. Some states have no commissions at all. In your career, have you had many dealings with the state athletic commissions and have been bothered as far as being able to wrestle for whom and when you want to without bother of commissions?
No, I've had zero experience with the commissions. That's probably good on their side. I'm just shutting the fuck up and letting me do whatever the hell I want.
They probably are a lot safer for that.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Bone, we got a few minutes left in the show, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you'd like, social medias, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite steakhouse, anything you'd like, floor is all yours.
Follow me on Instagram at Your Demigod of Death. I'm on Twitter at Demi_God of Death. My Facebook is filled with people. I can't even fucking add any more people, but you can follow me there as well. Just look up I Am Funny Bone. I plug all my shit on there. I plug all my merch on there where I'm going to be, so just pay attention.
Well, Mr. Bone, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. I know you're a very busy man, and hopefully you won't miss your opponent on Sunday and kick me in the chest really hard again.
I'm okay with it if I do.
Well, I will be all right with it, disqualifying you, I'm sure. So, no, we're even.
And see if you're conscious.
That wouldn't be the first time if I wasn't. All right. Well, Funny Bone, I want to thank you one more time for being on. Always a pleasure to share a locker room with you. I look forward to doing it again this week. Fans, definitely, if Funny Bone is near you, go buy yourself a ticket. Watch him. You're definitely going to enjoy what he does. Very hard worker in the ring. Visit his merchandise table. Support him and what he does. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Sunday we have Franco Varga scheduled on the show. I think you'll be very interested in what he has to say. So get out there, support your local independent wrestling wherever it may be. You can find me in Bremerton, Washington tomorrow night at Woo America. Get out there, support, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Guys, have a good night. See you Sunday.
Okay.
All right.
Fucking bitches in the back of the club. so like what? That's how we roll. Smacking haters with the back of my hand. That's how we roll. Put the DJ in a headlock and laugh. That's how we roll. Fontaine ain't backing down. You lame for the ass around. Yeah, I look like Zach Morris. And I got them great horns. Glasses, man, you cat the boring. Classic, I'm a Macosaurus.
What?
Brick phone, you ain't major. Get going like two-way pager. Haters need to stop. Don't nobody wanna read the blog.
No.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on my feet. Kobe Bryant on my jersey. I ain't got no Aston Martin, girl, but I got that Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
But I got that.
No,
Magic Johnson.
All these fellas buy me drinks on the spot. That's how we roll. All these bitches try to see if I'm hot. That's how we roll. Try to talk to me. I hope you like me. That's how we roll. It's hyper crushing. We ain't fucking with lame. That's how we roll.
I won't feel like Christopher.
Hey,
everyone look for flip the bird.
Fuck
sure.
You.
Why not? I like to fight. I'm trying to show you what life is like. Fontaine's an idiot.
Yep.
Always on beat like a city cop. Watch. Me tear it up. Every club in America. Is that your chick? I probably boned her. No club, no ice sauna. Party like my life is over. Never catch me nights or sober. Biters, eat my shorts. We got new shit you ain't seen before.
God damn it.
Lasers and fog. I'm like, damn, why you gotta jock the lights?
This is Hyper Crunch right here.
That's how we roll.
Mixtape, volume 2. Click, click, bang.
That's how we roll.
The Zappa Gun Gang. Let me tell you one thing.
We roll
like this. Kinetic.
We roll like Easy Riders, super focused, only good shit. I'm the dopest, as I should. No time or focus. Clint Eastwood, please off his lotus. Six shooter, my computer. Now it's time back to the future. On new ride, not super duper. Well, we're trying, you best get used to. Cosmic flow, kick over ER. Not Chris Mike, my aura neon. Must be coolest till it's free on. Unlike you, we all agree on. That hype is you hype for yo. The fly ass shit, take your diaper, yo. That hype is you hype for yo. Take your diaper, yo. Fucking bitches in the back of the club, that's how we roll. Talking shit to the bouncer like what? That's how we roll. Smacking haters with the back of my hand, that's how we roll. Put the DJ in a headlock and laugh, that's how we roll.
Hey man, you got a joint?
No.
Not on me, man. It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Blackjack, no dope deals, no nothing. A nickel bag gets sold in the park. I want in.
You don't got facts
while everybody's far on the street. It's my turn.